Climate experts say the Earth's temperature started to change about 150 years ago. That's when people began to burn coal and gas and oil to run factories and generate electricity. These fossil fuels release carbon dioxide into the air. CO2, a greenhouse gas, traps the sun's heat. Climatologists warn that unless carbon dioxide emissions are curbed, the planet will continue to heat up. Scientists are now looking to nature to counteract this human influx of carbon. Chailey Hoover with the U.S. Forest Service is among these scientists.
There should be a plot to the right, too.
For the past three summers, Hoover and a team of technicians from the Forestry Sciences Lab in Warren County, Pennsylvania, have traveled to hardwood forest in the northeastern United States.
What we're doing is trying to get a basic handle on how much carbon is in the soil in these different forests across the Northeast and how management might change that.
Today, Hoover is in the middle of the Monongahela National Forest in West Virginia. She and her team gather their equipment from their van.
Do you want it? Do you want to keep it in your pack?
As they head to a stand of cherry, maple, and beech trees, Hoover explains some basic biology about carbon storage and trees.
They pull carbon dioxide out of the air and they use it to make sugars, carbohydrates, for the trees to live on. And in the process, that carbon gets stored as wood. And carbon also gets stored in the soil.
Hoover's regional study is the first to examine carbon stored in forest floors and soils. The study looks at uncut forests and those that have been thinned. Hoover wants to see if different forest management practices affect the amount and type of stored carbon. This morning, Hoover and a technician use a knife and template to cut small sections of the forest floor, the layer of organic material above the soil. After the forest floor samples are labeled and bagged, the crew takes samples of the soil. They dig 12 holes per plot with a slide hammer core. That's a metal cylinder with a cutting tip on the edge and brass core sleeves inside.
This method enables us to just get these really nice depths without having to have any doubt that that's what we're actually getting.
Hoover says the whole point of her study is to eliminate the carbon guessing game. Because there's little information about below-ground carbon, it's been hard to establish how much carbon is stored in forests. Scientists call this a carbon budget. The big picture, says Hoover, is important because of the emergence of a domestic carbon trading market, a market where foresters can grow trees, store carbon, and make money.
Right now, carbon dioxide isn't regulated as a pollutant. There are people who think that it probably will be. There's voluntary reporting where companies can report their CO2 emissions and their uptake through different projects, so there's a lot of experimental work going on.
An experimental program in Chicago is working to give industry a reason to reduce carbon dioxide output. The Chicago Climate Exchange will begin trading carbon credits. If a company reduces its CO2 output by installing new technologies, that difference can be sold on the exchange. Companies will buy credits that represent storage of carbon in either trees or soil. Dr. Richard Sandor is the founder of the Climate Exchange.
We are going to have projects which would have to be monitored and verified and approved by our offset and forestry committees, where people would agree to reforest if a particular project absorbs 100,000 tons of carbon and it can be measured, then people can sell those on the exchange.
Sandor says this isn't the first time that pollution credits have been traded in the United States. He points to the success of the sulfur dioxide market. Sulfur dioxide is the main component in acid rain. The U.S. EPA estimates that this market-driven program has cut sulfur dioxide output in half and saved $50 billion a year in health and environmental costs. Not everyone sees such a sunny future for carbon trading. Some critics believe that CO2 emissions must be regulated by the government or through the International Greenhouse Gas Agreement, called the Kyoto Protocol. Others worry that foresters or landowners will resort to single-age, single-species tree plantations to quickly fulfill contracts. Back in the Monongahela National Forest, Chailey Hoover says biodiversity need not suffer.
I don't think you have to manage for carbon or sustainable timber production. I think you can do both and manage for wildlife. I don't think there's a lot of trade-offs there.
We probably won't know the success of carbon trading in the United States for another 5 or 10 years. The Bush administration has refused federal regulation of carbon dioxide and for now has left the solution to the markets. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Ann Murray.